In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please sit down. I would like to thank the College and Pusey House for the generous presentation of my dual role. Much could be said about the relationship between IT, science and theology, technology and theology, above all about the so-called conflict between them. However, to avoid disappointment, I must make clear that there will be no IT content to my sermon tonight. So what is it to say about the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord? Well, as I was discovering yesterday over lunch with Father George quite a lot. And as ever with Christian theology, we have to make statements that appear to contradict each other, only to find the essence and the truth in the middle, in the fine balance between such apparent contradicting proclamations. So the ascension of the Lord is about sorrow, and it is about care. Christ is leaving this earth. That's unescapable to the apostles. And we see in the way the Lord prepares them for this that he is concerned about this. He's concerned about how they're going to feel without their teacher, without their leader. So Christ is reassuring them of his continued presence in the world, promises them another comforter and also his own return. I am with you until the end of days. What kind of attitude is that? It's the attitude of a caring parent, a loving parent, who knows that he must go away, but makes sure that his children are well looked after and comforted. Going to the other side, the ascension is about joy and praise above all, and the songs we sang today at lunchtime abundantly clear this, show this. The apostles rejoice despite the Lord leaving them, despite this earthly and temporary separation. It is a leave-taking, if you will, full of joy and light, as the disciples return to Jerusalem with great joy. Let us hear the words of the Megalinarion, the Marian hymn of the day in our tradition. Magnify, O my soul, Christ, the giver of life, who has ascended from earth to heaven. We magnify you, the Mother of God, who beyond reason and understanding gave birth in time to the timeless one. Or another prayer from our tradition specific to this beautiful feast. In the serene and all-bright day of your divine ascension to heaven, the earth is celebrating and rejoicing. The sky is enjoying today the ascension of the Creator of all creation. The faithful sing incessant praise, seeing our fallen nature on your shoulders now, the Savior taken and elevated into the heavens. The ascension is about discretion. It's not the case as with the resurrection that there are no witnesses to the ascension of the Lord. There are 12 apostles and 2 angels. But it's still a discreet following. But on the other hand, the ascension is a day that shook the world. If you remember, the philosophers of the ancient Greece had a saying, one flavor of them saying, there is nothing new under the sun. St. Gregory of Nazianzus in the 10th century turns this around and says, there is nothing under the sun except for the incarnation of the Word. The incarnation of Christ, the incarnation of the Word changes the course of history. Well, in the day of the ascension, that course of history is changed yet again. In the ascension of the Lord, Christ takes his human nature into heavens in the Trinity. This is extraordinary. Think about it. He's ascending into glory and he's staying at the right hand of the Father in the image of the full deification of his humanity. Of course, this is by grace, not by nature. By all his acts, incarnation, death, resurrection, Christ gradually transforms the human nature that he assumed, healing the fully transfiguring it. Because of the supreme transfiguration of his body, he now can reside in the hearts and the bodies of those who believe in him. Ascension with the body to heaven is a testimony of the fact that man was created for eternity. For the Son does not appear to the Father only as God, but also as man. The significance of ascension is not related to the phenomenon itself, but as an expression of Christ's heavenly exaltation, which, as raised by the resurrection to the right of God, he reigns as King. By defeating death, he has begun a new way of life with God, which has prepared for his elected. This whole struggle takes on the whole human nature, as St. Paul makes clear in Ephesians 2:4-6. Ascension is a day of remembrance as well. In my country, in Romania, the day of the Ascension is the feast of the commemoration of the fallen. It is the equivalent of your Remembrance Sunday. This was established at the end of the First World War in 1920 and then confirmed by the Church in 1999 and 2001. After the Liturgy of the Day, services of commemoration are organized everywhere in the Romanian Orthodox Church, and at midday the bells of all cathedrals and churches toll in remembrance of those who gave their lives for nation, faith, and country. Ascension is a feast of fulfillment and confirmation. Christ has completed his work in this world, so he returns to heaven. However, nothing is the same anymore. So let us listen again to the two main songs, liturgical songs of the day in our tradition, the Troparion and the Kontakion of the feast. O Christ God, you have ascended in glory, granting joy to your disciples by the promise of the Holy Spirit. Through the blessing, they were assured that you are the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world. And when you did fulfill the dispensation for our sake and unite earth to heaven, you did ascend in glory, O Christ our God, not being parted from those who love you, but remaining with them and crying, I am with you and no one is against you. So the ascension of our Lord is a feast of promise and of hope, the promise of return and the promise of the Holy Spirit. He exalted himself to send the Holy Spirit into the world as he has promised. I will pray the Father to send you another Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever. I feel very sorry for the agnostics of this world when I read these words. There is no two ways of interpreting here. Christ remains in the world. His work continues through the Holy Spirit till the end of days. There is no withdrawal. Ascension of the world does not mean, as I said, withdrawal from creation, because he continues to be present and work by the Holy Spirit. And look what happens 10 days later on Pentecost, when through the descent of the Holy Spirit over the apostles, they turn from hesitant and simple people into bold and wise missionaries who spread Christianity throughout the world. I am always envious on St. Peter's sermon and word on the day of the Pentecost. It is a complete transformation from the hesitant, from the man who cannot get his right words, into this almost perfect rhetorical and full of grace sermon he gives after receiving the Holy Spirit. So the spirituality of ascension is based on hope. Christians look for at the heavenly house that awaits them, still living on earth in the reality of the new world in which Christ reigns. But what is the relevance to us today of all this? Which of these things are important for us? Well, all. But perhaps above all, hope